city of Jackson, throughout the state of Michigan today, indeed across America and the world, there are people that are hurting. There's disappointment, there's pain, sorrow, despair, and hopelessness. Some will revert to alcohol as a way out for a few moments of enjoyment and maybe forgetting your troubles, trying to drown them in a bottle of Budweiser, but it won't work. Others will take some pills, illegal or legal injections, hoping for a few moments of bliss away from the pressures of life and living. All the anxiety of the world is summed up in one word, sin. And the truth is, sin hurts. It hurts homes, mothers, fathers, sons and daughters, churches, society, and government. It is no light matter that sin ruins lives and nations. I feel as Jeremiah felt, if you'll turn to the book of the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. A man called of God to proclaim the word of God to a generation that didn't want to hear it. To a people that have removed themselves from the righteousness of the word of God. To those that found comfort in worldliness and complacency. To those that have rejected the truth of the word of God and turned to sin. And he preached. But like so many, they wouldn't listen. He was faithful in his preaching and would not quit. But yet, they wouldn't listen. They had other things to talk about. They had other concerns in their life. And the Bible says he wept. Matter of fact, the whole book of Lamentations is nothing more than he's pouring out his heart. Not because of his personal problems. Not because of his personal troubles. Not because of his difficulties that he's facing in life. But the sins of his people. I am grieved tonight for my country. I grieve today for the world. But I know the answer and I know the hope. And that is the word of God, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah has a striking verse in chapter number 49. Jeremiah 49. And we read these words that were abiding in my heart. Arise, get you up unto the wealthy nation that dwelleth without care, saith the Lord, which had neither gates nor bars, which dwell alone. Sometimes people ask me, they say, Brother Sousa, is America in prophecy? Greater scholars than I have debated that question. Personally, I do not see America, sadly to say, in prophecy. But as I read this verse of scripture, I can't help, at least by way of application, to think of the wealthy nation called America. And I have been over the Atlantic Ocean to Europe several times. I've been over the Pacific Ocean to Asia, preaching several countries there several times. I have been down through the Caribbean several times. And there is no nation as wealthy as America. And yet America is poor spiritually. And Jeremiah writes the words, flee you up into the wealthy nation that dwelleth without care. And who cares today? Who cares that these teenagers have a hope and a future before them? Who cares enough for them to bring them the Word of God? A church is more concerned about their lawns being manicured and their building being properly decorated than they are about sinners walking the aisle. Or bless God, as we saw this morning, the waters of baptism move. Who cares? Who cares about these people represented by these flags? Who really cares? Are we so selfish in ourselves that we don't care? I think this morning you do care. And our question is, can we care a little more? Who cares? Our Bible reading this morning, in which you have read responsibly, Psalm 142. If you'll turn there, please. David writes this psalm, and his heart is broken, and he says, I cried. It wasn't a casual prayer to God. It wasn't, oh Lord, help me today, and bless me, and give me this, and give me that. Oh, he had a burden on his heart. And he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord that I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Have you ever done that? Have you ever told God how hard you had it? Have you ever told the Lord how difficult things were? Have you ever told God what he already knew? We do that sometimes, don't we? And David's heart was broken. He says, I got a lot of problems. I got a lot of troubles in my life. And he says in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed with it. Do you ever feel like you couldn't take it anymore? Do you ever feel like you're at the end of your rope? Do you ever feel like if one more thing happens, I'll break. I can't take another thing. That's where David is in his life at this time. My spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I've walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. Oh, but the sad words of verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And oh, the sad words. No man cared. No man cared for my soul. I wonder how many sitting in Jackson, home alone, saying, nobody cares about me. I'm all alone. The phone doesn't ring. Nobody visits their door. And they're alone. But multiply that throughout the world, and it makes no difference the color of skin. It makes no difference the language in which they speak, nor the type of culture. Loneliness grips every soul that lives from time to time. And David said, I felt so alone. Like nobody cared. I looked at my right hand, and nobody wanted to pay me any attention. Said, no man cared for my soul. I want to preach this morning. I want to preach this morning before you will come down and place within this globe, representing all the continents of the world and all the people, before you walk down the aisles. I guess that's how you can do it, and place that in there. Would you ask God, am I a caring Christian, Lord? How much do I care? You care when you have your own problems, but do we care for others? And maybe this morning we need to see in Scripture who really has a concern for souls. I think we could safely say, it's a very simple message this morning, flows very easily. easily to be understood, but so hard to be applied. I think we can safely say today that God the Father cares today. That we have a caring God. I have been reading a book that, and I want to thank the church for allowing me to purchase it this week. I've been reading a book called Unveiling Islam, written by two converts to Christ who were formerly Muslims, and giving insight. How striking they have made the fact that the God of Islam is impersonal and doesn't really care. All he is demanding, and they point this out and they go, I'm not going to get all that. But anyway, they have a God that doesn't care. I'm so thankful today we got a God, a Heavenly Father, that does care. He cares for us. How do we know? We go back to the garden. When God made Adam, when God made Eve, placed them in a perfect condition called paradise. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a place where there was no pain, no sorrow, there was no wickedness, there was, I mean, just a beautiful place. And God says, you can do anything you want to do except eat of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the wicked one came, as he always will, folks. The more this church does for God, the more the devil's going to get mad. The more this church seeks to glorify the Lord and win souls, the more the devil's going to try to wedge between us. And I say us, for this week that I have spent with you, I have bonded with you, and I feel part of your ministry, since a week of my life has been invested in you, and you have invested in me. But they disobeyed God. And they did that which God commanded them not to do, and they ate of that forbidden fruit. And they had broken the law of God. A simple law. One simple thing. Don't eat the forbidden fruit. And the one thing that God says don't do was the thing the devil said to do, just like today. The devil would say, you don't have to listen to that preacher. You don't have to do what the Bible says. Listen, this is the real world. I'm going to tell you, the real world stinks. God can undo the destruction of the devil. Adam and Eve sinned. What did God do? God looked down upon the sin of Adam and Eve. He took an animal. The Bible doesn't tell us which one, but as we look at Scripture, I would be pretty safe to say it probably was a lamb. And God slew that animal. The first drop of blood ever to fall into the soil of the earth was by the hand of God for the sin of mankind. And God gave him that clothes of animal, of that animal, which would picturify Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And God in eternity past knew that man would sin. And God looked around heaven, but there was no angel that could atone for sin. But his only begotten Son, born of a woman, made under the law, was born upon the earth. Both God and man being conceived of the Holy Ghost and the virgin called Mary. And God gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because he cared. If I were to ask you, and I will, what is the single most comprehensive verse in the Bible about God loving the world? I think our minds are all in one verse right now. I mean, some of you might have another one, but I think generally we're all thinking of, what's the reference? Say it. John 3:16. Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved, he gave. You cannot love without giving. You say you love the Lord. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. That's not my job. Neither is it my pleasure. But I do know the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And what is the fruit of love? It is not the ushy-gushy, oh, I love Jesus. No. It is the giving to Him of our life. It is the giving to Him of our substance. I had a friend called Norman. Norman and I served on the drill team of the United States Marine Corps. After our term on the drill team, Norman was sent to Vietnam. Being on patrol in Vietnam, he walked headlong into a Viet Cong machine gun nest. Cut him right up the middle. He died. They brought his body home. His mother was in her house. She looked out the window and she saw a car with a government seal pull up. Two United States Marine Corps Marines got out of the car and walked to the door. She knew a mother's heart was broken. They knocked. She wouldn't open the door. They knocked harder. They knew she was in there. They begged her. They called her by name. And finally she opened the door. And they said, "Ma'am, on behalf of the President of the United States and the American people, we regret to inform you that your son was killed in the line of duty in Vietnam." She wept with the broken heart of a mother. All she had was the word, "Your son died." But when Jesus died, God the Father saw it all. She didn't hear His cries in that rice paddy. She didn't hear the thuds of the bullet that cut Him up his, up and down in His body. She didn't see the blood flowing and mixing with the water of the rice paddy. All she heard, her son was dead. But when Jesus died, God the Father saw it all. He saw the whip on the back. He saw the nails being driven in His hand and in His feet and the crown of thorns on His brow. He saw and heard the cry, "I thirst." He saw the mockery of the crowd. Why did He allow it? Because our Heavenly Father cares. Cares for men. And cares for souls. Oh, we can go on. And of course, we could look at Jesus. That one who was in heaven, leaving the side of the Heavenly Father, laying aside the glory that was set before Him, putting aside the worship of the angels, saying, "Holy, holy, holy," to come down to this sinful earth. Jesus, the Rose of Sharon, the one altogether lovely, the bright and morning star, the first and last, the Alpha and Omega, became man and suffered as a man on this earth. When He came unto His own received Him not. They laughed at Him and mocked Him. Indeed, when He was on the cross, they laughed and said, "If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross and we will believe." Thank God He didn't come down. Thank God He did. Thank God He died and finished the plan of the devil. Would have loved for Him to come down and thwart the plan of God, that the Lamb of God should not be slain for the sins of the world. But He suffered it all. He was spit on. I've only been spit on once in my life. It's not a pleasant thing. But they spit on Jesus. They tore the beard from His face. They took their hands and whacked Him back and forth till His face was swollen and bruised. And they took Him out to the whipping post and they beat His back until the skin was literally ripped off. He had the authority. He said, "I could call 10 legions of angels. I saw what one angel can do with Sennacherib in the Bible. I can imagine what 10 legions would do. They would tear apart Calvary. They would whip away the agony of the cross. But he didn't call. Instead, he drank of the wine of the wrath of God to the bitter end and said, "It is finished. I paid the price for sin." Why? Because he cares for you. Don't you take the love of Jesus so lightly for what it cost him to bear your sin and to bear your iniquity. He cares. If we read the scriptures, Jesus said in John 14 concerning that of the Holy Spirit, do you realize that the Holy Ghost cares for your soul? Have you ever been in a church service and felt like... Have you felt like the readers that the preacher has been reading your mail? That's not the preacher. You know what that is? That's the Spirit of God. That's that still small voice of God in your heart trying to tell you, listen, you need Jesus. You need to be saved. You need to make things right. But in one ear, the Spirit of God may beckon you, and in the other ear, the devil says, "I don't do that. Come on." Who you listen to? But the Holy Spirit is that one which brings conviction, the Bible says. A preacher, I can't bring conviction on your heart. I can't bring conviction on your soul. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. All I do is as I told you before, I just read the Bible and tell you what it says. That's my job. But it's the Holy Spirit that touches you. And folks, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit, I forget it. It's the Spirit of God that will tell you what he would have you to care for souls and the amount to give this morning. All week, I poured my heart out to you the best I could. I wish I was a better preacher. I really wish I could get the point. There are such men that grace pulpits that I pale to. But I would pray this morning that you would allow the Spirit of God to move you because he cares. He cares for souls. Can I just go very quickly and make mention something that the choir sang about this morning? The choir did it. But they got it because it was in the Bible. Do you know who else? We know our Heavenly Father. Oh, thank God we have a loving God. Thank God we have a loving Father that cares. Thank God we have a loving Jesus that cares. Thank God we have a Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. But you know what? The people in heaven are concerned about souls being saved. The choir sang about that, didn't they? Sound the horn, strike up the choir. And can imagine, the Bible says there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You want to make heaven happy? Go lead someone to Jesus. They're concerned about souls. I don't know how it is. I don't know if bells go off, sirens go off. I don't know the big neon sign saying, you know, on August 20th, 1962, that there's those that got saved. But I do know the Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven. Why? Because they're concerned. One less young lady, one less young man, one less daddy, one less mommy going to hell. They care. But let me hasten on and let me say this. Not only do the people in heaven care, but I'll submit to you the people in hell care too. Did we not look at the scriptures this week and see in our journey on Wednesday night? Did we not travel to that place of the damned, that place of the lost, of the hopeless? And did we not see that man who in hell cried out for his brothers? Did we not see a man in hell that was concerned for souls? If I could. He had 5 brothers. He said, I don't want him to come to this place. If I could. If I had the power. to rip open this carpet, to tear through the wood joists, go down to the basement and break up the concrete of the basement. And if I could dig through the soil of the earth and break through the mantle of the earth and get to the core of the earth, if that is where hell would abide. But if I were to do that and open up a portal, open up a gateway into the very place of the lake of fire, so we could feel its heat, smell its stench, and hear its cries. It was one man that said, 5 minutes in hell would do more for soul winning than a lifetime of revivals. To see and to hear. And if I would silence all the wailing in hell for a moment, if I could just have them silent for a moment, and if I were able to shout down to them and to say, do you have a message for those up here yet living? There would be a thunderous sound of unison. There would be a unified course. It would be, get saved! Get saved! Get saved! Get saved! Don't come to this place! Get saved! Anything else? Yes. Care. Care for souls. Care for souls. Care for souls. Care for souls. But alas, do we care enough to give greatly to the cause of missions? Do you know one final thought? And I'll have two invitations. Pastor will have one. Have you thought about your own soul? Where will you spend eternity? You said, I prayed a little prayer. Nobody ever got saved by saying a prayer. Prayer don't save you. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Then with the mouth confession is made. Belief must come. That's what you confess. Your belief in Jesus Christ. That he died for you and paid the price. And you put your faith and your trust in him like this dear sister standing in the waters of baptism. Saying that's what Jesus did for me. And I'm standing here in testimony that I want to live for him. Christian, do you know why this church is here? I don't know the history of your church. But I can't help but to think a church that goes back this far had a concern for souls. And they weren't looking for building a status symbol in town. They weren't looking, this could be a nice building the town can be proud of. No, they were concerned about souls and getting souls saved. Our business is the spiritual business of getting folks saved. We're not in the business of just having a social group here. We're not in the business of just feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and helping the sick and helping the needy. We'll do that, yes, but we'll do that to the end that we can tell them about Jesus. So you feed someone. Now they go to hell full instead of hungry. What good have you done? So you send someone to AA and they get sober. Now they go to hell sober instead of drunk. What have you accomplished? We must be about our Father's business. And that is soul winning. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teaching them all things, as the Bible says. Discipling them. Having them follow in the waters of baptism. Church membership. And then going out on soul winning. I don't want you to get mad at me. I really don't. But my heart, this week, I didn't know any of you when I came. I got to know some of you a little bit more than others, only because you opened up to me. But two things this week stand in my mind to put me to shame. And I'm not here to embarrass anybody, and I'm not here to puff up anybody. But since it spoke to me, maybe it could speak to you. Night after night, as you know, I gave an invitation. Night after night, God touched your heart. But I'll never forget the night. And I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I don't really remember the night. She might remember. I gave the invitation. And I saw, just please excuse me here, but Sister Carolyn, she has a hard time walking. It's no secret. We know that. She knows that. And I gave the invitation that night. I saw her walk as slow as she could on that cane. No, she couldn't come down and kneel. But she come as she stood, getting along with God. And I said, Lord, if she can do that, what's my excuse? Yesterday, at 11 o'clock, we met here. I walked in, the first person I saw, I walked in was Brother Earl. I don't know how old he is, but he's older than I am. Bless his heart. And he's going out calling. I walked across the parking lot, and not my arch. The arch is under your foot, but the top of this parking here, whatever that's called, the bridge or whatever it's called. I had a muscle. I pulled a little bit, and I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. And I saw him. I said, oh, God, forgive me. What I'm trying to say, folks, and I'm not puffing them up for anything, but example is example. And I want you, and others, you have also proved faithfulness. Don't get me wrong, okay, please. And I thought, why did they come? And why do you come? Why have so many come to the altar? Because you cared. May it not be said. May it not be said of anybody in Jackson. May it not be said of any of the missionaries that you support. Nobody cared for my soul. Because you will do your part this morning. I'll ask you first. The first concern you ought to have is, do you care for your own soul? Do you care if you're going to heaven or hell? Do you really, or you just say, well, I'm not going to worry about it now. Now is the time, because today is the day of salvation. You don't know if you're going to have tomorrow. Oh, I'm young, preacher. You're old. You got one foot in the grave and the other on the banana peel. Yeah, you're close. I'm going to tell you, I could take you to any cemetery and there's somebody there your age. I don't care if you're elderly, you're a young lady, a young man like these up here in the front. I don't care if you're someone as babies in a nursery. Somebody your age is there. Do you care for your soul enough this morning to give it to Jesus? The devil wants it. Why? Why in your mind would you want to give your soul to the devil instead of Jesus Christ? What is the devil offering you that's worth a price of a home in hell? I would urge you this morning, would you give your heart to Jesus Christ for real and let him change you? Secondly, Christian, second part of my invitation will simply be this, and the pastor will come and he'll close the service anyway he sees fit with the faith, with our free will giving. Christian, get your card. You've had it all week. Mine's getting a little dog-eared. Would you just write, now maybe you've already made up your mind, maybe you've already marked it. But would you say, Lord, I want to care just a little more. You've given me faith. You've given me the burden. I'm going to increase it. Show me what you want me to do. We're not talking foolishness, but we're talking conviction in your heart of what God wants you to do. Do you think it was easy for Peter to step out of the boat? No, but he did. And God, yeah, I know, he's, but you know, God saved him. God preserved him through it, didn't he? And he will you too. And so, I'm going to ask you two questions. and I'm done preaching. One, do you care for your soul this morning? I'm going to give an invitation. Sister, would you come to the organ, please?